All right. Now, I think today's daf, I'm sorry he's not here, but today's daf is sponsored by Gavriel Aronoff on the occasion of the yahrzeit of his brother. And the brother's name, I believe, is Immanuel ben Avraham. So maybe if Gavriel joins us a little bit later, we'll be able to get it straight. I think his name is Immanuel ben Avraham, his brother. All right. Anyway, let's take a look. We're on Tetzayin Amud Aleph.
I think his brother's name was Sam. His nephew is Emmanuel.
I don't
No?
know. I don't know. He. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. So that's what he said to me this morning. Maybe I got it confused. I don't know. But anyway, but he is sponsoring
His brother.
the dot. Yeah. All right. So anyway, the third line. So Tetzayin Amud Aleph, Mishnignaz Ha'zan Shkalim Tetzayin Amud Aleph 16a, Mishnignaz Ha'aron. Now the Mishnah mentioned about that. According to the Mishnah, the Aron was hidden in the Beis Hamikdash, underneath the Dir Ha'etzim. So the Gemara says, "Mishnignaz Aron, nignaz imot tzenet aman." When the Aron was secreted away, since tzenet aman is like the jar of man. If you remember in Chumash, like Moshe Rabbeinu says, you take a jar of man and leave it near the Aron that was hidden away as well. Like a bottle, somebody has to mute themselves. That's okay. Aron Moshe, you're not muted. One second. Okay, a bottle of the Shemen HaMishkah, the anointing oil that was used when they dedicated like the Kohanim and the Mishkan. He says, "Umaklo shel, the staff of Aaron's staff." He says, "Uprachav, its flowers and its almonds." Remember, in Chumash, there was an incident where where
In
people.
Korah.
Right. Well, afterwards, where his leadership was somewhat in contention with Aaron, and everybody left their staffs, and his staff blossomed forth with the Shekadim. For our God, Sheshiva Plishtim Hashem Elokei Israel, and the box that the Plishtim brought, sort of like a guilt offering to the God of Israel. Remember, in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, so it says that there was an incident where they went to war with the Plishtim, and they took the Aron, and then they suffered illnesses, and they put in the Aron. They made these gold objects, and they sent it together with the Aron. They sent the Argaz. So he says, now the Gemara says, "Miganazo, who's the one who?" This is on Tetzayin Amud Aleph, around the sixth line, 16a. "Miganazo, who's the one who stored away the Aron, the Ark?" Yoshiao Ganazo. So Yoshiao was like they have a like in Sefer Malachim, it's usually the kings are good or very bad. So Yoshiao was one of the very good kings, and we just read about him during Pesach. We just had one of the Haftarot was about Pesach to Yoshiao. I think it's the second day of Yontav here in Chutz La'aretz. So the Haftarah reads about the Pesach that Yoshiao Melech made. So Yoshiao stored it away. Kevin Shirah Shekhtov, Yulecha Shemurchavi Malkha, Shutakim Alecha, Algoya Shal Yadatha Tavavotecha. So it's an incident in Sefer Malachim where they find the Sefer Torah in the Azara. And one of the Mefarshim says this was the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu had written. And they brought it to the king, and it was rolled to the portion of the Tochacha, the rebuke, where it says that Hashem is going to take your king and send you to a nation that you don't know. And so it's bad news, and the Torah was normally kept rolled to the beginning, and it was rolled to there. So he took it as important of what's happening. So he says, "Amaru Ganazo." So he took the Aron, and before Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, he hid it away. He hid it away. So the Gemara says, "Hadau dechtiv." That's what the pasuk says. "Vayomer la'levim hamvinim l'chol Yisrael hakdoshim la'Hashem." That Yoshiyahu said to the Levim hamvinim, the ones who understand. And HaKadoshim. Now, in the article, they brought down that they said that Shlomo HaMelech knew that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed, and that Shlomo HaMelech, he had built a subterranean chamber. He quotes here the Tosafos HaRosh and Horius on Daf Yud Beis, that Shlomo HaMelech built a subterranean chamber to store the Aron when the occasion would arise. And so the people who knew where it was were these Mevinim, and the other ones are I think, the Kedoshim. So in other words, they knew where the subterranean chamber was. So going with that Mahalach, so means Yoshiyahu said to the Mevinim and the Kedoshim, the people who know where the subterranean chamber is, now is the time to use it and put the Aron there. He says, L'chol Yisrael HaKedoshim L'Hashem. Tenuit Aron HaKodesh B'Bayit Asher Banah Shlomo Ben David Melech Yisrael, place the Aron in the house, in the structure that Shlomo Melech built, Ein Lechem Masah B'Katef. You won't carry the Levim, you won't carry the Aron anymore. So it means like this, that he obviously the Beis HaMikdash is already standing. The Aron is already in the Beis HaMikdash. So what's he saying, put it in the Beis HaMikdash? So the way the Gemara understands is he's saying, put it in this subterranean chamber and store it away, because, and the Gemara is going to say, because if it goes into Galus, you're not going to carry it anymore. You're never going to see it again. So the Gemara says, Amar Lahem, Im Goleh Hu Imachem Lebavel, if this Aaron goes into Galus with you to Babel, to Babylonia, he says, Eina Tamachzirin Oto Od Lemekomo. You're not going to bring it back here anymore. So the Gemara says, Ela Atoy, do it Hashem Elokechem V'yedamo Yisrael. You should serve God and the Jewish nation. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I did so far?
Where are our Kalim now?
I don't know. You know, they have some story that some of the Kalim were in Rome, brought to Rome, but I don't know where the
Aaron in the Arch of Titus.
I don't know about that, but it would be interesting if they could do some excavations on the Har Abayit. I'm sure they would find quite a few things. They can't do excavations where the Makom HaMikdash is, but if they could do it in a place where they know the Makom HaMikdash wasn't, it's just everything is so explosive there. Anything you do is like dynamite. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right, I'm going to move on. Okay, so we're around 10 lines down, or 15 lines down on Ted Zion Medal of 16-8. Okay, Pitum Shemen HaMishcha. Now, we said that together with the Aaron, Yosheu stored away the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil, and this anointing oil was used to anoint kings, and was used to anoint, you know, Kohanim Gedolim. So he says, Pitum Shemen HaMishcha means like the recipe, the compounding of the Shemen HaMishcha. He says, "Ve'ata kach lecha v'gomer, v'kidach chamesh miot v'gomer, shein elav chamesh miot manim." In other words, the Torah gives all the ingredients. You'll take this, and it's in shkalim. It says, "Ve'ata kach lecha b'samim rosh, mor d'ror, chamesh miot, kinum besa machzot, chamishim matayim." You'll take, different spices, 500 pure myrrh, fragrant cinnamon, you know, each one giving in shkalim. And here the article translates it, in other words, it's giving the calculation by shekel weight. So it comes out to 1,500, in other words, all these roots, these spices come out to a total weight of 1,500 shkalim, shekel weight. He says, elef v'chamesh miot manim, portions is the way that the article translates manim here. Okay, shemen zayit hin, so you're going to turn this into shemen zayit hin, like this fragrant oil to anoint things with. So shneimasar log. So a hin is 12 log. A hin is 12 log. In other words, a kiddush on Friday night is a quarter of a log. And then this is going to make 12 log. So he says here it's approximately 1 or 2 gallons. So they're going to convert it into a liquid, 1 or 2 gallons. Think of like a gallon milk carton, lahavdil. So 1 or 2 of these gallons is what the anointing oil is going to be. Shabo sholkin et ha'ikarim. He says that with this, we're going to boil the ikarim, and it was the roots, the Rebbe Meir. And it's going to Rebbe Meir, we're going to take the 2 gallons of oil and boil all these roots, like the 1,500 shkalim of roots, in the with the oil, that's going to Rebbe Meir, and then get a fragrant oil. And it's got the fragrant roots and spices. We boil it, and then we get the fragrant oil. That's the way Rebbe Meir says. So he says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shulchan Aya B'mayim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. First they would boil, well, the fragrant roots like in water. He says, V'notein Shemen Al Gabayen. He says, and then afterwards they pull it out, and they put the oil on like this water-saturated root. He says, "Shmishaya kolate." In other words, they don't want the root to absorb all the oil. So the root is like boiled in water; it's not going to absorb the. In other words, the root is all the fragrances. So the root won't absorb the oil, and they're going to put the oil on it. He says, "Mishaya kolate et areach yamaviro." And then once it absorbs the fragrance, they would take the oil off the roots. He says, "Kederach shapatim imosin," just like the perfumers make it, like the professional perfume people do it that way. He says, "Hadahu dichtiv shem mishkat kodesh v'gomer." So it says that, again, the Gemara quotes the beginning of the pasuk and you need the end of the pasuk. It says, you know, it says like it'll be, you know, rokeach maaseh rokeach, like the work of like a chemist. In modern Hebrew, rokeach is a chemist, but means like a perfumer. So he says, "Tani Rabbi Yehuda be Rabbi Loi." Shemin, so Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Eloi, taught the following braisa: Shemin Amishcha Shesamo Sheba Midbar Maasei Nisim Nasabo. He says the Shemin Amishcha that Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, compounded or made in the Midbar, there were miracles that occurred with it. He says Midchila Biatso, from beginning to end. Shemidchila Lo Yabo El Shneimusar Log. He starts off with 12 log, which we said is 1 or 2 gallons of oil. He says Shneimar Shemin Zayit Hin. In other words, that amount of oil is not even enough to wipe over all of these roots. He had 1,500 shkalim weight of all these roots and herbs, and he got a gallon or two of oil. It's not enough oil to even go over all those roots. He says, alachat kam v'kama, so if you're going to boil it now, there's been even less left there. Sha'ur bolea, in other words, they were heating up the oil and the roots. He says that the fire, you know, causes some of the oil to dissipate. He says va'etzim bolim, and then the roots themselves, they absorb some of the oil. He says v'hayora bolat, the pot absorbs some of the oil. He says u'menu nimshachu, but with that 1 or 2 gallons, that 12 log of oil, he says, "Minonim shechu haMishkan." The whole Mishkan was anointed. We know each part of the Mishkan was anointed, and the kelim were anointed with it. He says, "I don't think the whole thing was smeared with it, but like a little piece on each one of the kelim." He says, "V'chol kelim, all the kelim, haShulchan v'chol kelim, the Shulchan and all of its kelim, haMenorah v'chol kelim, the menorah and all the kelim to service the menorah." And from that oil, Aaron and his sons, he had 4 sons. Unfortunately, Nadav and Avihu died, you know, at that time. But they were anointed, it sounds like, each day. The Shabbos Yimei Miluim. I was looking at the Chumash today. I didn't see clearly where it says they were anointed each day. But it sounds like from the Gemara, they went through the anointing each day, it sounds like. He says, "Umenonim shchu kohenim gedolim umlachim." And from that oil going down through history, and he only started off with like this 12 log, which was like a gallon or two of oil. So it says that the Kohanim Gedolim and the kings were anointed with it. Melech Betchila Taun Mashicha. So now the Gemara says, this Braisa, if a person is the first of his line, he's the king, he's the first in his family to be a king, he gets anointed. He says, Melech Ben Melech Ein Taun Mashicha. If he's a melech, the son of a king, he's not anointed. Now, the gra actually takes these lines out. Again, in shkalim, let me get this here, one second. In shkalim, you have a lot of, you know, all these girsaos. So Michael, we're around Tetzayin Amud Aleph, around midway down the column. Okay, so he says, so the gra takes this line out. He says that, Melech ben Melech ain't on Mashicha. The king, son of a king, is not anointed. My taima kumashachehu kizehu. In other words, this is when Shmuel is going to anoint David HaMelech. He goes to Yishai. Yishai's got 7 sons. He's looking at each one, not this one, not this one. And then David HaMelech comes in for the field, the whole thing. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Shmuel, that's the one. So kumashachehu kizehu. So the Gemara says this line doesn't belong here because the Gemara is going to have a drasha from this pasuk another 10 or 15 lines. But is zetan mashicha ve'im benotan mashicha. And it's kizehu. This one you anoint, but his son you won't anoint. In other words, that's the limud. He says aval kohen gadol ben kohen gadol. But if it's a kohen gadol, the son of a kohen gadol, afilu arasarad derot, even if it's 10 generations, kohenim gedolim, taun mashicha, then each one gets nimshach, each one is anointed. V'kulu kayam la'atid lavo. And the Gemara says, the Braisa says, that the whole quantity of Shemen HaMishcha, that 12 lugim, is preserved, is going to be preserved for the, you know, we said the Shemen HaMishcha was hidden with the Aaron. So the 12 lugim remain for the future. He says, hadaw dechtiv, Shemen Mishcha Kodesh Yezed Lila Dorotechem. This Shemen Mishcha Kodesh will be for generations. Zeh, Zayin Hey, in Gematria is 12. So it's a remez that the 12 Lugim will remain, you know, going forward. You know, Rav Simon had a drasha. I don't remember the whole thing so clearly, but he had the piece with Yaakov Avinu. Remember when he gets up in the morning and he takes the shemen and he puts it on the matseva. So somewhere, I think it was something based on the Ari or something, something with Kabbalah. It came out that connecting that shemen amishka, that shemen to the shemen amishka. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I said so far? Everybody good? Okay. All right, I'm going to move on then. All right. All right, so at the two dots around 3/5 down the column, all right? So, Ein Moshchin HaMalachim El Gabay Mayan. So the Brisa continues, we only anoint kings by a spring of water. Spring, obviously, it symbolizes like growth, you know, like things going well. He says, Shinemar, V'yir Kavtem Shlomo B'ni Al HaPirdo Shali, So this is talking about David HaMelech. If you remember, it's the Haftorah for Parshas Vayechi, I think, right? V'amelech David Zakein Baba Yamim. And there's like, so Bathsheba comes to David and says, you know, what's going on? Adoniyahu, who's one of David's sons, is like, you know, like assuming the role of like crown prince or whatever, you know, the next in line to be king. And you said Shlomo was going to be king. So David Melech says, you know, so he directs that you bring Shlomo, my son, on the mule, which I have, and you bring him to Gichon, like there's a spring in Yerushalayim called Gichon, and Sadok HaKohen and Hanavi will anoint him there. Now, the Gemara says, in Moshchin Melech Ben Melech, El Bnei HaMachloket, that we normally don't anoint a king who's the son of a king. So if your father was the king and he was head of the whole line, we wouldn't anoint a son. But the Gemara says, if there's a machloket, there's some dissension involved, then we'll anoint even the son. So he says, "B'mnei manim shach Shlomo." Why was Shlomo anointed? Since David HaMelech had been anointed, so he didn't need to be anointed. "B'mnei machloto shel Adoniyahu," because Adoniyahu was like, you know, creating this dissension, like assuming the role of like the king. So because of that, so Shlomo HaMelech was anointed. Yoash b'mnei Ataliyahu. Yoash, remember, is this? Remember, we read about him in Parshat Shkalim. Ben Shevashanim Yehoash b'malcho. He was 7 years old when he took over the throne. So this woman, Ataliyahu, the way I remember, she was from the house of Ahav. She was busy killing, somebody had married her, and she was killing off all the members of the house of David. And then Yoash was like saved. So because she was on this whole run, so they anointed him. Yehoachaz, b'nei Yehoyakim achiv, she'gadol menu shtei shanim. Yehoachaz was anointed because his older brother, you know, he was the younger one, and yet he became king before the older brother, so that's why he was anointed. Yehu b'nei Yoram. Yehu was anointed because Yoram was part of Ahab's household, and there had been, and Yehu, I think, killed Yoram. This is, so the Gemara says, now, this is where the Pasuk comes up. So the Gemara asks, that was the Gemara asking a question. That we're going off from the Braisa. So the Gemara says, L'chein k'tiv kumish l'cheyu kizehu, zetun m'shicha v'im malchei Yisrael tun m'shicha. So this is the real limud. In other words, zehu, that only the kings of the Davidic line are anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. So the Gemara asks, he says, so if that's the case, so Yehu and Yoram, Yehu was the northern tribes. He's not from Malchus Beis David. So why did he get anointed at all with the Shemen HaMishcha? It's only the Davidic line is going to get anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. In other words, they have the, you know, the monarchy in Yehuda. It's Yehuda, the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. The southern kingdom is Yehuda and Binyamin, and the northern kingdom, the 10 northern tribes. So Malchut Beit David is in the southern kingdom. So Yehu is in the northern kingdom. Why is he being anointed with this? He says, now we have Elah. I think the Gra takes out the word Elah, right? What does he have here? You need these, a lot of different yourselves here. Yeah. So the Gra takes out the word Elah. Yehoachaz mei Yehoyakim. Now the Gemara asks another question, and based on this other question, we're going to answer both questions. Yehoachaz mei Yehoyakim achiv shegadol mimenu shtei shanim. the Yehoahaz was anointed because he was king before Jehoiakim, who was his older brother. Below Yoshiahu Genazo. So the Gemara says, how could either one have been anointed? These are sons of Yoshiahu. And we said above that Yoshiahu hid away the Aaron and hid away the Shemen Mishka. So how is anybody anointed after Yoshiahu? These are his two sons. How is anybody anointed after him? Hada Amra Barfar Simon Nimshach. So the Gemara says it means they weren't anointed with the official Shemen Mishka. They were anointed with balsam oil, like symbolically with balsam oil, not the real Shemen Mishka. So now you say that it's balsam oil. We can say the same thing with Yehu as well. He didn't have Shemen HaMishcha. He had, you know, nice, fragrant balsam oil, but it wasn't the Shemen HaMishcha. All right. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I did so far?
I just had a comment about the sprinkling on the Kohanim. I think in Tzav it says, Vayaz al Aaron al Begodov. Then it says, V'al Bonov v'al Bigdei.
Bonov, right, 100% correct. So, right.
It seems that for Yosef Aaron al Begodov, that the sprinkling was more important for Aaron on his Begodov. He didn't need the sprinkling. They wanted, I saw a Peirush. He didn't need the sprinkling. The way the Pasuk is derived,
it's saying. There's a drush I remember the Gemara has about like Zakan Aharon, like for the Pasuk and Tehillim, that goes on Aaron as well.
So essentially, why
did his Begodov need it more than he does?
He said because he didn't need it.
Why not?
Because he was so kaddish that he didn't need the sprinkling. So the pshat is like this: is that many rebbes that were the old time the children, you know, they put on the begodov, but they still need the sprinkling. They don't have the koiches of the father or are as good as the fathers of the grandfathers. They use the schus. The schus of the zayid of the alter zayid, but they don't come to it.
Yeah, where does he? Who says this? Who says this, Aaron?
I saw this from one of the svarim by I think the Kaiser once. Kaiser from Avrin.
Did you see it in the Chozeh, or you saw like an article quoting the Chozeh?
I saw it in a different sefer quoting the Kaiser.
All right. Okay. Let me see further. Any other questions, comments, and thoughts? Everybody good? Okay. Let's keep moving. Okay. So we're around 30 lines from the bottom at the two dots, okay? On Tet Zayin and Aleph. Ein Moshchina Malachim Elamina Karen. So the Gemara says if it's a king, we anoint him from like a horn. In other words, like a horn that represents sort of permanence and success. He says, Shaul v'Yehu nimshchu in apach. Shaul and Yehu, Shaul is in the is the king of all of Israel, and Yehu was the 10 northern tribes. They were each anointed from the pach. The pach is like a small bottle, like a small earthenware bottle. He says, Aita Malchutan Malchut Alveret. He says, so it was the transitory, in other words, their monarchies, their line did not last long. And they quoted in the Arsha, the Marasha says in one place, like an earthenware vessel, like it breaks easily, you know, it's like it doesn't last long. He says, David Shlomo Nimshchu Min HaKeren, David and Shlomo were anointed from the Keren, from the horn. He says, Haita Malchutan Malchut Kayemen. It was like a monarchy of permanence. It went on for a long time. In Moshkim Kohanim Malachim, now the Gemara says, we don't anoint Kohanim who are Malachim. In other words, if Kohanim are Malachim, and this obviously calls to mind Chanukah, if a Kohen is a Melech, we don't anoint them. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Antundarya Al Shem Le'Yisur Shevet Miyehuda. In other words, the Malchut belongs to Beis David, and the Kohanim don't have a role, really, in taking the role. He says, Amar B'chi Bar'ada, Laman Yarich Yamim HaMamlatohu Vanav B'Kerv Yisrael. So the Pasuk in Chumash says that I think the king should write a Sefer Torah for himself, so that he'll have a Richus Yamim, lengthening of days, and he and his sons in the midst of Israel. Makti Batrei, what does the Chumash say right afterwards? Lo Yelak Kohanim Alevim. The Kohanim Alevim shouldn't have a Chelek, but it means the way he's darshening out is that, like, there's the kings, but Lo Yelak Kohanim Alevim. The Kohanim Alevim don't have a Chelek with the whole thing. The article said that according to the second version, they shouldn't absorb, you know, take the kingship under any circumstances. According to the first answer, they said that, you know, maybe in a pinch they could take it temporarily. And that's a big, you know, that's a machloket with the Chashmonaim, whether they did the right thing or the wrong thing by becoming kings temporarily. So it seems like the Ramban in his Perush Chumash learns that there was an Aveira that they became kings, the Chashmonaim. And the Rambam seems to learn it wasn't bad, because when he's describing Hilchos Chanukah, he says how, you know, that they became the kings, but it doesn't seem like he's describing something that they did bad. All right. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hu Yochanan, Hu Yehoachaz. So this just happens to be Rabbi Yochanan says this. Yochanan is the same as Yehoachaz. Yehoachaz is one of the sons of Yoshiyahu. These are the last kings of Malchus Beis David. So Yochanan same as Yehoachaz. So the Gemara says Vaktiv Habachur Yochanan, but it says that the eldest was Yochanan. Now we said before Yehoyakim was the older brother, and it says, and if Yochanan is the same as Yehoachaz, we says that Yehoachaz became king before the older brother. And here it's saying the firstborn is Yochanan slash Yehoachaz. So the Gemara says Bechor Lamalchut. When it says the Bechor, it doesn't mean the firstborn biologically, it means the first one of his sons to become the king. So when the Torah says, or when it says in Divrei Yamim, HaBechor, it means the first of the Malchut. Amar Rabbi Yochanan.
So was David
Wait. I'll just keep the question. I'll pause in just a few minutes, okay? Just keep the thought. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hu Shalom, Hu Sidkiyahu. So Rabbi Yochanan also says that Shalom is the same as Sidkiyahu. So Ba'aktiv, Hashlishit Sidkiyahu. It says, okay, thank you. Okay, so it says, Hashlishit Sidkiyahu Ba'Ravi Shalom. That Yoshiyahu's third son was Sidkiyahu, his fourth son was Shalom. So if you say Sidkiyahu was the same as Shalom, how could he be the third and how could he be the fourth? He's the same person. So the Gemara says, Shalosh l'toladot, in other words, genealogically, he's the third born son. He says, Revi l'malchut, but in terms of accession to the throne, after Yoshiyahu, he was the fourth, because his brother took over, and then the brother's son took over, and then his two other brothers took over, and then he came. Okay, Sidkiyahu is called Sidkiyahu is not his real name. Sidkiyahu was called Sidkiyahu. He was the last king of Yehuda. Sidkiyahu shetzidekalav midaradin, that he accepted, in other words, he suffered a lot of terrible things. I think Nebuchadnezzar blinded him, but he was matzdik the din. He accepted the din. He says, Shalom should be amav shalma malchut beit David. He's called Shalom because in his day, the malchut beit David came to an end. Now, either Reish Lakish Amar or not, Lo Shalom Havashemei, his name wasn't Shalom, Lo Tzidkiyahu Havashemei, and his name wasn't Sidkiyahu. So neither one, each one is, we would say, a sobriquet or a nickname. He says, Ela Matanya. His real name was Matanya. He says, Hadau Dechtiv, Vayamlech Melech Bavel et Matanya Dodo Tachdav, that the king of Bavel appointed Matanya his uncle. So it means that Sidkiyahu, in other words, the grandson of Yoshua had become king, and now the king of Babel appoints Sidkiyahu. So in other words, the way it seems like Sidkiyahu's brothers became king first, and then his nephew became the king, whatever, but you get the idea. Then he says, Vayasev et Shmo Sidkiyahu. He called him Sidkiyahu, but his real name was Matanya. Okay, now time for questions, comments, and thoughts.
I thought you're not supposed to give nicknames.
I think it depends on the nature of the name. You know what I mean? Like when, like if you know, like the people, you know, Rav is called Abba. It might be that his real name was Abba, but it might have been an honorific. You know, I think it depends on the circumstances.
Yaakov Yisrael.
Yeah, that, right. It's
but that Hashem gave that. That's a different geder, I would think.
Yeah. But why can't you give nicknames?
Didn't we learn that?
Yeah, I think it means like if it's something like disparaging or something that would, you know.
Yeah, you can't call someone a shorty.
Right, like that. That's what I think. All right.
You have to pay something you can.
Was the Kohen Mashiach Ruchama anointed?
I'm not sure. He's called Mashiach Melchama, so Mashiach means he's Nimshach. But whether he's Nimshach, I have to look.
That's what I'm asking, because he's on the same level as far as marrying as the Kohen Gadol. He doesn't go through Perusha.
I don't know. I got to look into. I need to look into it, Aaron Moshe. I whether he gets the same mashiach as the Kohen Gadol. I need to look into that. All right.
Was David ever called the Bechor of Yishai because he was the Bechor Lamalchut?
I don't know. All right. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay, let's take a look. All right. So we're around 10 lines from the bottom, I think. Let me get to place. Okay. So Am Rabbi Yochanan. Now again, there's a lot of different Gersels here, but Amos Shishit Tfachim Haya Aron Asui. So there is different Amot. There's an Amma of 5 Tfachim, an Amma of 6 Tfachim, and an Amma of a little bit more than 6 Tfachim. It's an Amma, I think, in an Etzba. And what does he say here? One second. Yeah. He says 6 1/8 Tfachim. Yeah, it's a large amma. One second, I think. Let me just take a look. I think it's an amma and an etzba, I think is what he says. Okay. Chatzi etzba. Okay. There's an amma of 6 tfachim and half an etzba. So 4 etzbaos to the tefach, half an etzba would be an eighth. That's where the article got it from. If you look in the Tiklin Chadatin has it. Okay, so we have large, medium, and small amas. Okay, so the small amma is 5 tefachim, the medium amma is 6 tefachim, and large amma is 6 tefachim and half an etzba, which would be an eighth. Okay, so back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, the Aron was constructed using an Amma of 6 Tfachim. Man Tana ba'Amma Shoshisha Tfachim. Who's the Tana who holds that an Amma is 6 Tfachim? Remeir he. That's the Tana Remeir. Didnan, Remeir Omer, Kol Hamot Hayu B'Beinonit. Remeir says that all the Amot used were the medium Amma, which is 6 Tfachim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in other words, all the Amot that were used in the construction of the Mishkan were the medium Amot. Those are the ones of 6 Tfachim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Amot Abinyan, Shisha. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it was something related to the structure itself, it was the 6 Tfachim one. Shel Kalim Chamisha. If the Kalim, it's using 5 Tfachim. So the Gemara comments, Al Date Dremeir. Let me make sure you got to be careful here with all the Gersels. It's very, very tricky. Very tricky. Okay. Al Date Dremeir. Do Amar ba'Amah Shoshit Tfachim Hayaron Asui. So the Gemara says within the now we're going to do Reb Meir first. Reb Yochanan is one who quoted Reb Meir that we're using 6 Tfachim. Orko Shel Aron Chamesh Esrei Tfachim. So the length of the Aron is going to come out to be 15 Tfachim. Dechtiv Amatayim V'Chetzi Orko. So it says in Chumash with the Aron Amatayim V'Chetzi Orko V'Amah V'Chetzi Rachbo. Its length was 2 1/2 Amot. So if I have 6 tfachim for the amma, and it's 2 1/2 amot, it's going to be 6 6 3. So that's 15, right? It says amatayim b'chetzirko amta ashita. The first amma is 6 tfachim. The amta ashita. The next amma is 6 tfachim. Upalgut amma amta talata. So and then half an amma is 3 tfachim. Okay. The arba'al luchot hayubo. There were 2 lochot and there are 2 sets, 2 tablets. Four sets of tablets, I should say. In other words, each time they got the Aseret Dibro, 2 tablets. So 4 tablets there. He said, Shnayim Shleimim, Shnayim Shavurim. 2 complete tablets and 2 broken tablets. Dichtiv, Ashishi Barta, Visamtam Ba'aron. In other words, you'll take the one that you broke. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you put it in the Aron. Haluchot, now the Gemara is going to figure out how the Luchot are fitting in the Aron. And if you have the article, you have a nice picture on page 16b1, okay? So, haluchot, now here the art scroll is heavily tilted towards the gra, and so there's a different gears on the gra, you can see in the Hagosa gra. So he says here, haluchot yu kol achad v'achad orko shisha tfachim, so the luchot were each a length of 6 tfachim, and here the gra has orkan shisha tfachim v'rachvan shlosha, and 3 tfachim in width. So each luach, each tablet, is 6 tfachim by 3 tfachim. Tein rachvan shel luchot l'orko shel aron. If you place the width of the 4 luchot against the length of the aron, nishtayer sham shloshat tfachim. So again, I have 4 luchot, each one luchot is three tfachim in width. So I put it down luach, 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 sideways. I mean, the width of each luach, I place, you know, based on the length of the aron. And if you have the chart, you can see the chart. If you have the art school chart, you see it. So luchot are being placed in the aron side by side. Each luach is three tfachim in width. And if you take the four of them, so it's 12 tfachim, right? So 12 tfachim, and we said it was 15 tfachim we're trying to fill up. He says, now let's see back in the Gemara. He says, Nishtayer sham shloshat tfachim. So I have three tfachim left over. Ten mehem chatzi tefach l'chol kotel. So half a tefach, the Gemara figures, is the width of the aron on each side. Nishtayer shnei tfachim l'sefer Torah. So I have two tfachim left over to fit the Sefer Torah in the Aron. And the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote goes in the Aron. All right, the second line on Tezayin Beis, Rachvo shel Aron, Tisha Tfachim. Now, the width of the Aron was 9 Tfachim. Dechtiv Amah v'chetzi Rachbo. It says an Amma and a half is its width. Amta Ashita, one Amma is 6 Tfachim. We're going still within the Shita of Reb Meir. Upalgut Amta Talata, and half an amma is 3 tfachim. And now here, the Gra takes out these lines, so it's just a repetition of what we had before. The arba luchot ayubo, there were 4 luchot in the aron, shnaim shleimim shnaim shvurim, 2 complete and 2 broken, the thiva shishi barta besamtam baron. Haluchot ayukol achav yichad, orkan shishat tfachim, and rachvan, following the sheet of the Gra, 3 tfachim, shoshat tfachim. Now let's look at the Gra. He says, "Tain orkan shaluchot l'rochvo shel aron." Now we're going to put the length of the luchot against the width of the aron, against the width of the aron. So, in other words, before we were, if you have the art scroll chart, before we were calculating the length of the aron. Length of the aron was 15 tfachim. We put the tablets down side by side, 3 tfachim in width. Now we're trying to figure out the width of the aron, which is 9 tfachim. So each one luchot is lying down 6 tfachim. So I start off with 9 tfachim, and then 6 tfachim. I have 3 tfachim left over. Let's see what's doing. He says, "Le orko shel aron nishtayer sham shloshat tfachim." I have 3 tfachim left over. Chatzi tefach mikan lekotel zeh, v'chatzi tefach mikan lekotel zeh. So again, the Shita Tohi holds that the walls of the aron were half a tefach. That's 1 tefach. Utfachayim l'shilut makom shesefer Torah munach, and then 2 tfachim to provide room to move around the sefer Torah. Now there's a machloket where the sefer Torah was or were not removed from the aron, but if it was removed from the aron, it's certainly much easier to understand having, you know, room to move it around. Okay, so let's just pause for a second. So we're figuring out how the aron, the size of the aron in tfachim, and figuring out how the luchot fit into the aron. So first we did the sheet, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan held like the Tan Reb Meir that said that it was 6 tfachim. Okay, so let me just do the Reish Lakish, then I'll pause after the next piece. Okay, so the Gemara says Reb Shimon Lakish Amar ba'am bar chamisha tfachim hayaron asui. So Reish Lakish holds the aron was built with an amma of 5 tfachim, which is the smaller amma. He says, "Man tana ba'amma bat chamisha tfachim." Who's the tana who holds 5 tfachim? Reb Yehuda. And Reb Yehuda and Meir were bar pluktis throughout Shas. The tanin and taman, because we learn in the Mishnah, and this Mishnah is a Masechet Kelim, and we quoted it above. The tanin and taman, Reb Yehuda and Meir, amada binyan shisha, that Reb Yehuda concedes when they're building the structure, they use an amma of 6 tfachim. Shel ha-kelim chamisha, but the kelim, the vessels in the Mishkan were built with an amma 5 tfachim. V'hein aron klihu, so the aron qualifies as a kli, so it's 5 tfachim. Al da'ate de Reb Yehuda du amar ba'amma shel chamisha tfachim. So within the opinion of Reb Yehuda, who held that we're dealing with an amma 5 tfachim, so again, well, this was outside. So we said. Amatayim v'chetzi orko, it's 2.5 amot. So if an amma is 5 tfachim, 2.5 amot are going to be 12.5 tfachim, right? If each amma is 5 tfachim, 2.5 times 5 is going to be 12.5 tfachim. That's going to be the length. And then the width is Amma V'chetzi, so it's going to be 5 times 1.5, be 7.5 in width. Okay, so it's going to be 12.5 in length and 7.5 in width. Let me just read it inside. It says, yeah, or kawasui shneimasor tefach umechsa, that the length of the Aron was 12.5 tefachim. Dechtiva matayim v'chesi orko, it says 2.5 amot in length. Amta chamisha, 1 amma and 5, and that's 5 tefachim. Va'amta chamisha, the next amma is also 5 tefachim. Upalgut amta, half an amma, tre upali, another 2.5. Okay, now he's also going to, if you look, if you have the art scroll, they have a chart, but if not, you can just figure it out in your mind. But arba luchot hayubo, there were 4 luchot there. Shnaim shleimim u'shnaim shvurim, 2 complete and 2 broken. Dechtiva shishibarta v'samtam baron. Va'luchot haya kol echad v'echad, orkan shisha tefachim, v'rachvan shosha tefachim, is the way the Gra has it. So each one of luchot was 6 tefachim by 3 tefachim. That they both in agreement was. The luchot were 6 by 3. So he says, tain. Now let's just, we have to adjust this a little bit. Tain rachvan shel luchot l'orko shel aron. So it's like before, we're going to line up the width of the tablets, you know, tracing the length of the aron. He says, v'nishtayir sham chatzi tefach. So again, so I have 4 luchot, that's 12 tefachim. Now we said that the length was 12.5 tefachim. So I have 4 luchot, and then with each one 3 tefachim in width, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 12 tefachim. And the Aron is only 12.5 tefachim. And this is 12 tefachim. So then the Gemara says, chatzi tefach etzba lekotel mikan. The etzba lekotel mikan. In other words, the half tefach, in other words, a tefach is 4 etzbaot. So I'm going to have etzba lekotel mikan. So I only have half a tefach. Half a tefach is 2 etzbaot. So in the first version, we said the walls were a chatzi tefach. Now the Gemara is saying in this version, the walls are a quarter of a tefach, 1 etzba. So in other words, so the luchot are fitting in snugly, and they're occupying all the space of the aron, 12 tefachim, and the walls of the aron are each occupying a quarter tefach. Okay, now let's go further, and then we'll be done. He says, "This we did." Okay, now, rochbo shel aron shishva tefachim mechza. We said that the width of the aron is 7.5 tefachim. Dechtiv amah b'chetzi arko, that it's amah b'chetzi rochbo rather. It says that it's 1.5 amot in width. Amta chamisha, an am is 5 tefachim. Upalgut amta tre upalig, and half an amma is 2.5 tefachim. V'arba, and again, here the Gra takes this out because we repeated it several times. V'arba aluchot ayubo shtaim shtaim u'shtaim shvurim dechtiba shibarta v'samtam baron aluchot yakol chavakad orkan shishat tefachim v'rachvan shloshat tefachim. 1 second, he says, tain orkan l'rochvo shel aron. Now we're going to put the length of each one of these luchot against the width. So in other words, each one luchot is 6 tefachim in length, and the whole aron is 7.5 tefachim in width. So 7.5 minus 6 leaves me a tefach and a half. So I have a tefach and a half that we have to figure out. He says, v'nishtayir sham tefach umechza, etzba lekotel mikan, etzba lekotel mikan. So I have the width of the wall is each one an etzba. That's 1/2. He says, chatzi tefach mikan, v'chatzi tefach mikan l'shilut. So I have half a tefach space here and half a tefach space there in order to, you know, move around the luchot. Okay, so that's the basic idea. So the basic idea we said is that there's a machlokas between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, whether we're using the tefach of 6 tefachim or 5 tefachim. Everybody agrees the luchot were 6 tefachim by 3 tefachim, and based on that, that's how they fit it all in. All right, Who's it? We are running out of time. Does anybody have a question or a comment?
Yeah. According to Art Scroll, he says, according to Reb Yehuda in Devarim, that they were not put into the actual ark itself. Rather, the tablets occupied the ark's entire length.
Okay, I think you're jumping ahead, Ruth. He's talking about the next sugya. I think you're in the next sugya. Wait a few more. He's talking about the Sefer Torah, whether that was in the Aaron or not. Okay, I'll be with you in a minute. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
Didn't we discuss last night with the question of whether there were one ark or two arks?
Right.
That they said that
right.
Two ark theory.
Right. This is going with the one ark. This is going with the one ark, Shita. Okay.
So what happened to the broken luchos?
They were in the Aaron. With which way? With this, they're in the Aaron with the regular one.
The other,
in other words, either they're in their separate Aaron or in the same Aaron with the regular luchot. All right, I have to move on. I'm sorry, I got to move on. Okay, let's stick back in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara. So let's stick back in the Gemara. Okay. Now, Ketzer Asabat Salel at Haron. Everybody needs to mute themselves. Everybody muted. Aaron Moshe, you need to mute yourself. Okay, 1 second.
Okay.
All right. So the Gemara says, Ketzer Asah B'Tzalel El Haron. How did B'Tzalel build the Aaron? Reb Chanina Amar, and this, I think maybe Aaron Moshe mentioned this the other day, but he says, Reb Chanina Amar, Shlosh Tevot Asa'o. He made three boxes. He says, Shtayim Shel Zahav, Achat Shel Eitz, two of gold, one of wood. Tan Shel Zahav B'Shel Eitz. In other words, the innermost one is totally made of gold. He puts the gold in the wooden box, B'Shel Eitz B'Shel Zahav. And then the wooden box goes into a gold box. So you have, in other words, you have the wooden box in the middle, gold in the middle, and gold on the outside. That's the basic idea. B'Tzipahu, and he covered, means he covers like the edge. So if you would lift off the kaporet, the edge of the wooden box would also be covered with gold. He says, you should cover with gold on the inside and the outside. That the upper lip is covered. So Rish Lakish says, no, there weren't three boxes. There was one box. And he says, the one box he covers in gold. In other words, so according to Reish Lakish, it's just a wooden box, and the wooden box is covered with gold, and titzapenu means even like between the boards, like so wood is not at all apparent. Okay, now the Gemara says, Kitzayu luchot ketuvim, how were the luchot, the tablets written? Reb Chanina ben Gamliel omer, chamisha luach zeh v'chamisha luach zeh. So now it's interesting, you know, when you see in shuls generally, and when the luchot are depicted, they're usually depicted not as like rectangles or squares. They're usually depicted with like an arch on each one of the luchot. I'm sure you've seen this, right? It looks like two arches. But you see from the Gemara, that's not the way they're shaped. They're shaped like two rectangles. That's the luchot. You know what I mean? If you see an aron, I don't know if the aron or shul has it. Do we have a picture of the luchot on the aron or shul? But if you see the pictures, they always have like arches atop of it. But in the Gemara, it seems to come out like they're two rectangles. It's like squared off at the top. So the Gemara says, Reb Chanina ben Gamliel omer, chamisha luach zeh v'chamisha luach zeh. That there are 10 commandments, 5 on each one luchot. Hadavad achtiv v'yichtaveim al shnei luchot avanim, chamisha luach zeh. He wrote them on the two luchot avanim, meaning all 10 on two luchot. Rabbanan Amri, Asar luach zeh, Asar luach zeh. Chami say, no, he wrote 10 commandments on one luach and 10 commandments on the other luach. He says, Hadau dechtiv, v'yageh lechem ebrito, ashesivadchem lasod, aser hadvarim. And then it says, I think, v'yichtavein. Again, the Gemara quotes the beginning of the pasuk and the end of the pasuk. It says, aser hadvarim and v'yichtavein. Let me see where he quotes the pasuk here. He wrote them on the two luchot. He says vayichtaveim al shnei luchot avanim. So he says the mem of vayichtaveim, he says in footnote 22, seems unnecessary. The rabbis understood the superfluity as teaching that all the commandments inscribed on each of the two tablets. Okay, then he says, Asara luach zeh, asara luach zeh. Shim ben Yochai omer, esrim al luach zeh, esrim al luach zeh. So Shim ben Yochai says there were 20 on each one of the luchot. So dechtiv vayechtaveim al shnei luchot avanim, esrim al luach zeh, esrim al luach zeh. So the one way to understand it is to say that you have 10 on one side and 10 on the other side. You know what I mean? So then, in other words, it's like the luchot are written on both sides. So it's 20. In other words, 10 on one side and 10 on the other side. Then Rabbi Shimai Omer, Arba'im Aluach Zev, Yarba'im Aluach Zev. He holds 40 on each one luchot. So one way to understand this would be Dechtiv Mizem Mizahim Ketubim Tetroga. In other words, he's looking at it like it's on all four, one way to understand it, on all four surfaces. In other words, the luchot have, you know, they have four surfaces. So they're written 10, 10, 10, 10, 40. Okay, now, tetroga means like I don't know, square or whatever. So he says here, Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua Meir, being called Dibur v'Dibur, Ditkevio Tuteh Shal Torah. He says, between each one of the luchot were all the details of the Torah. Dichtiv Mimulaim Batarshish. He says, like filled with Tarshish. And the way they understand Tarshish, or one way to understand it, is like the sea, like the Mediterranean. Kiyama Rabba, like the great ocean. He says, Rav Shimon Lakish, Karavamati Hadin Karya, when he would get to this pasuk, Hava Amar, Yefel Limdani Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua. He says, Rabbi Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua. In other words, the son of my brother, Rabbi Yeshua, said, Mahayama Zeh, it sounds like his nephew, Mahayama Zeh Gadol, Mahayama Zeh, Bin Gal Gadol, the Gal Gadol, Galim Ketanim. Just like in the ocean, between the big waves, you have a lot of small waves. So to between each one of the dibrot, you have all the details on the Torah. Meaning, like the Rav Sadi Gaon has a piece where he says the Tariq Mitzvot all fit into one of the Ten Commandments. In other words, all the Tariq Mitzvot fit into, in other words, the Ten Commandments are really 10 categories of Mitzvot. And so the way the Gemara is saying that all the Tariq Mitzvot are on the Torah, but you know each one under each dibur. Arab Tanchuma, it kashiyat kumi Reb Pinchas. He says, Okay. So now I think this is the part that you were referring to earlier, Ruth. So he says, Amru Tenchuma, it kashiyat kumi Reb Pinchas. I raised the following difficulty before Reb Pinchas. He says, Atya Kireb Yehuda, Velatya Kireb Meir. In other words, the pasuk that we're going to quote in a moment is more in conformity with the Tana Reb Yehuda and not like Reb Meir. In other words, according to Reb Meir, there was space in the Aron for the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. According to Reb Yehuda, there was not space in the Aron for the Sefer Torah that Reb Yehuda wrote. In other words, before, if you look, we had space with the way we worked it out with Reb Meir, with 6 tefachim. With the 5 tefachim, there wasn't enough extra space for a Sefer Torah. So he says, so my Talmud Reb Yehuda, what's the reason Reb Yehuda holds that there's no space in the Aron for a Sefer Torah? Dechtiv, lakoach et Sefer HaTorah zev sam tematom yitzad aron brit Hashem. You'll take the Sefer Torah, as Moshe Rabbeinu speaking, take the Sefer Torah that I wrote, and put it next to the Aron. He says, Al Datid Reb Yehuda, Duamar, Heichan Haya Sefer Torah Natun, Kimin Gluskia, Suilo, Mibachutz. So within the opinion of Reb Yehuda, there was like a box outside the Aron that stored the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. Vaya Sefer Torah Natun Betocho. So the Gemara says, Mai Tamid Reb Meir. So what's the reason? In other words, this Pasuk seems to support Reb Yehuda's, you know, version of the structure. So what's the reason for Meir who holds that no, the Sefer Torah was inside the Aron? He says, "Echtiv v'natzara kaporet haaron milamala." You'll put the kaporet on the Aron. The kaporet is like the lid. You put the kaporet on top of the Aron. B'el haaron titina haedut asher etenu lecha. And then you'll put the Aron in the Aron. You put the edut which I will give to you. And the Gemara takes it, the edut is the Torah that I'm going to give you. In other words, you're not going to complete the Torah till the end of the 40 years, and then you'll put it in the Aron later on. He says, Aldate. Now here again, you need the gra. This has got to be Aldate to Reb Yehuda. Aldate to Reb Yehuda, according to the opinion of Reb Yehuda, Du Amar, a Mukta Mu'uchar B'Torah. He says that that things are out of chronological order. Ella b'al ha'aron t'tina ha'idur asher t'ina lecha b'achar kach v'tzadak kapor al ha'aron milamala. In other words, he's going to learn that the edus is talking about the luchot. That's what he'll have to learn, is the luchot. And he's going to learn is talking about the luchot there. All right. And then, in other words, and he's going to say that the order of the pasuk is not in the right chronological order. You put the luchot in, and then you'll cover it with the kaporet. First, he's going to say you're going to cover it with the kaporet, and at a later point in time, you put the sefer Torah in there. Let me just do two more lines, and then we'll take one or two questions. That'll be it. Reb Pinchas b'shem Reb Shimon Lakish, atarshnal kach barkel Moshe, nitnalo eish lavana charuta be'eish shchora. And this, they said, you have to understand, like metaphorically, what it means: white fire with black fire. So it was given white fire inscribed with black fire. The easiest way to understand it, it's like our Sefer Torah is like, you know, black written on white, but there's different ways to understand this. He says, "He eish muvlalet be'eish." It's fire, fire mixed with fire. And they said here, he says, "Chatsuva me'eish," like hewn from eish, unatuna me'eish, and given with eish. So he says here that in footnote 41, the wisdom of Torah emanates from God. It says he's an Esh Ochla, in other words, God is like fire, or it could be like an Har Sinai that was fire. He says, Dechtiv, you know, Esh Dat Lamo. To him, there's like the Torah, the Esh Dat Lamo is like fire to him. So in some way, it, you know, means it's, you know, on a very high spiritual plane. I don't know more to say with this. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did? What's up?
According to both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, it seems like the Shivrei Luchot take up the exact same space.
Right.
Why is that?
Anyways, imagine Lahavdil, like a chocolate bar. You break the chocolate bar in half. You break another chocolate bar in half.
After Pesach, they would only be a little.
You know,
bit
you know, right. That's if you or but it means like the pieces fit together like a puzzle. That's the idea. All right, any other questions?
Yeah,
comes.
I have a comment.
What's up, Ruth?
Ara had to be built with precision. We talk about an amma, which in itself, and half an amma, which in itself is imprecise. Who's four fingers? And then you talk about a medium amma, a big one, and a small one. There's not enough precision here.
I think they usually say it's an amma of an ish beinoni, an average person, but it may have been, I don't know if it was the amma of Moshe Rabbeinu or not. I can't remember. Somebody in my mind thinks Moshe Rabbeinu, but they had a precise. What's up? Quick.
No, I was just going to say that there's a Yiddish name, Adol. People don't use it too much. Aleph Dalet Lamed. But the Baal Shem Tov was the one who started it. He called his daughter Adol from Eish Das Lamo that you just mentioned.
They said again, he called his daughter Adol that what?
From Eish Das Lamo.
Eish Das Lamo. Is that Adol?
Yeah.
Adol. All right. Now.
I put my question. The words are actually written on the Luchot. I mean, you know, the aren't equal in length, right? I
mean, the four surfaces are not the same space.
But the word and the words in the commandments, like the ones the Lotas says are very short, and right. The assays are very long. What do they actually write on there?
What do they what say again?
What's actually written on? I mean, how would we balance that? Because on the left you have Lotitach, Lotinaf, Lotinaf. They're just two words.
Yeah.
But
the only thing is the Gemara here was saying that a lot of mitzvah were written in between those two words. That's the way the Gemara is coming out here. But
was it balanced out on both sides in terms of? We have the assays and lota assays like we have it. That's not really what it is then. I mean, that's not really accurate. What's written on it?
In other words, the Gemara is saying, according to one opinion we learned from the Gemara, that it's not just the Aseret Dibrot are written. All Taryag Mitzvot are on the Aseret Dibrot.
Okay, let's go with the one who says just the Aseret Dibrot are written. Even so, there's so many more words with the assays. The Lotus.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I don't know.
Is it just saying Ochi Hashem?
I mean, you're just looking at the Lotases that are in the Lucho, but I'm saying if you look at all the Lotases and all the Chumash, I don't know that the Lotas said, you know, like Kumalacha, Tavin Chavi Techa, Abdul Chavi Techa, Yerchash Sharecha. You can have, and even though that's subsumed in on the essay portion. I don't know. Anyway, now let me just end. The daf tonight was sponsored by Gavriel Aronoff on the occasion of the yahrzeit of his brother. I thought he said his brother's name was Emmanuel ben Avraham, but maybe I got confused. But whoever. the whatever the right name is, it's Le'ilui Nishmato. All right, let me just stop the recording.